Here's Johnny.
Push the call.
Excellent.
Push the call. Push the call.
Don't you love technical difficulties? I hope that we could hear him. Yeah, well, you know, alright, our immense budget, okay, of, you know, $4.28 a year, we can afford only so many 9-volt batteries. And so we bought a 3-pack. Well, they don't last as long as, you know, as they should. And so the board, you know, which of course runs on 9 volts, we somehow had to jimmy it up and figure out how to plug it into the wall. That was a ton of fun.
You know, to plug something in, imagine that. You know, enough stuff in down here in the basement.
Yeah, that's what we needed. We needed another cord down here. You know, there's like what? Yeah. There's like 38 cords that form the core of Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
And then an extra like 10 or 12 to do, you know, the promos and stuff. And
yeah.
Now if we bump the little mixer, well,
apparently
we,
that's what happened when we tried to bring the levels up. Yeah.
Yeah. it's just like, now let's play the intro again. Here we go.
Oh,
hey, I can hear us.
Hey.
I can hear
us. Hello, handsome.
Here's Johnny.
Johnny.
You did a good job on it.
Yeah.
What are we? Yeah. So. All right. Cool. I can hear that. All right. So we can go.
Sweet. Okay.
Well, it's working so far. We sent Will out for another battery though, just in case. So if we get dead air in the middle of the show, it's because we're replacing a battery.
Oh, great! You know my mic wasn't on.
Oh, that.
Oh, hey! Can you guys hear me now? Oh, my God.
Talk about technical difficulties.
You know, it's the alcohol from Friday night.
Well, that's one of the things that we have to talk about today.
I'm surprised I'm as lively as I am right now, because I was hurting.
We're talking
yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, I'm sort of president of this Ghost Hunter.
Yeah, Michigan
group.
Ghostbusters.
Michigan Ghostbusters.
Mr. Duggar, our fearless leader.
And so we're working on that. Well, one of the things we did this past weekend was have a Christmas party.
Yeah.
An MGB Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everybody was invited.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody came.
Yeah.
And almost everybody brought, you know, drinkables, because it was an adult party.
I did.
And, except for I brought my Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
Because
he brought in the skid.
Yeah,
he had the crane loaded up in the driveway. So I mean, it was nice that it was so cold outside because he just left it outside and stayed cold all night long.
It really worked out well.
Yeah.
So yeah, because I don't do the adult drinkables anymore since my party days in college. So now I had the Diet Pepsi thing. I actually found it for 79 cents. So I had Diet Pepsi. Everyone else had all these incredible drinkables. Almost everyone. It was a blast.
Yeah.
And everybody appeared to have an absolute great time.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had too much fun.
Bonnie hosted it. MGB.
From MGB.
Shannon helped her out a lot. Shannon is who hosted the initial MGB meeting.
Uh-huh.
And it was just phenomenal. I mean, they went all out.
Oh, God.
She did. She made lasagna. We had...
Oh, I annihilated that taco salad yesterday morning.
The taco salad?
She gave me a bunch of taco salad to take home, and I just, like, crushed it. I crushed it, dude. And oh, thank you, Bonnie. That was great.
Yes, thanks, Bonnie.
That was like I needed to eat something when I got out of bed yesterday morning, and that like hit the spot to like just start my day off.
So we had this incredible thing. We talked about, guess what we talked about? We talked about ghost hunting almost all night. We talked about the music business. We talked about everything. I can't think of a thing that we didn't cover.
Yeah, it was
except
a,
maybe you know like thermonuclear radiation or something. We didn't talk about that.
We know anything about.
Yeah, we talked about everything else though, and it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was a good time. We got a lot of things done then. I mean, when you get together and put together a group like this, it's easy to say we're experts on this kind of stuff now, group dynamics and how things work, and I haven't muted the computer yet. I'll do that in a minute.
Oh, wait till you read what popped up.
Oh, God. Anyways, we found out that, when you put together, in our situation, a ghost hunting group, okay, I myself, I have a million things going on, unfortunately, so I can't get as involved as I'd like to be, but I do understand the group dynamic, as does Doug himself. We find that there's a lot of things you want to get done. You have these goals. You have these objectives that you want to meet. But at the same time, we've been preaching this for the last year now.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time doing it, please.
Yes, and we sure do. You know what happens? We've had nothing but bad luck until MGB with ghost hunting groups. We were in one, and that sort of, had its own group dynamic going.
Yeah.
And that was something. And then we were in another one. Well, we were sort of like detached from the other one because it was downriver. So we were only attached to it. We weren't actually part of it, except it was, that fell apart for various unseemly reasons.
Yeah.
And cost a lot of people a lot of money, too. But anyway, so that thing was, done and gone.
Yeah.
But we picked up the remnants of what was left over from that fiasco and created Michigan Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
And they elected me for some unknown reason president of it, which was actually a pretty decent idea, it turns out, because I had some ideas.
Yeah.
I had been burnt before. A couple times.
Uh-huh.
And I had some interesting ideas that I wanted to try. A lot of ghost hunting groups are very dictatorial.
You just made a word.
I did. There's a new word. I gotta call up Webster.
A lot of ghost hunting groups. This is not generalizing anything at all. This is just from our experience in the past. How would I say this? The problem is, and this has been going on, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Trauma.
Oh, God.
Take it easy on us. I mean, we're putting together a group of people. We have a group of people that come together, they have the same interest. They have things that they want to find out. In our case, it's trying to find proof of the afterlife. All right? We're trying all these experiments. We're going out and doing all these hunts or investigations, whatever you want to call it. And mind you, there a lot gets done, but there is a group dynamic you have to keep in mind there. And if you don't keep everybody, I don't want to say keep everybody in check, so to say, but make sure everybody's happy with what's going on.
Yeah. And a lot of times they're not. That's the problem. What happens is the most ghost hunting groups that I've seen are, oh, by the way, our topic for this show, well, there is no topic.
Yeah, we just decided to, go as completely ill-prepared as possible this
And
week.
This is what this show is, because we were going to have a special guest.
We were going to have a guest. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it.
She couldn't make it, but we do get to talk about, because her and Will and I pretty much hung out. We hung out at the party.
Yeah.
We hung out on Saturday. And she was over today showing us some pictures and stuff before she, had to go to a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't, actually have her on the show. But we get to talk about her and what she does.
Fortunately, so much happened this weekend. We're going to be able to fill up this hour quite easily,
quite easily. So these groups, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of these ghost hunting groups have, and there's something to be said. The very, very first Ghostly Talk was about, although it's not on the archives anymore because of space restrictions, about how to start a ghost hunting group.
That's when we actually, cared. I mean, not exactly cared. That's when we have to be professional here. We're broadcasters, and we have to sound professional. We have to sound like we're reporting the news like this, and I'm Scott Lambert, Godspeed.
Doug.
And thank goodness we kind of smartened up after about two shows and said, we gotta have more fun here.
Yeah, why can't we have fun doing this? So, but anyway, what happens is you start up a group or somebody starts up a group, and then they become they are in charge of it. It's their group. It only makes sense. It makes great sense.
Yeah.
The only problem is when the group dynamics start happening, and then people feel alienated. People feel you know, unwelcome. Unfortunately, that's going to happen in every single group you can.
Yeah, and that happens a lot.
No matter
unfortunately,
how you set up a group,
that happens a lot. Unfortunately. And I've been in those positions myself where it's like, look, we're going to do this, and everybody in this circle is going to have their fair say. And that's the way in a perfect world it should be.
Right, and it's so democratic, and it's so ideal, and it sounds wonderful.
It's so, but in theory, it's a great thing. In reality, it sucks.
It cannot happen.
Unfortunately, you have to have someone there that's gonna step up and go, look, I'm taking charge here. This going back and forth all day long and talking about nothing, it don't happen. I'm sorry. So that's why Mr. Doug here, well, he was elected, actually. You didn't step in like old school everybody with a baseball bat.
No, you literally
were elected in as president of MGB.
Yeah, for better or for worse,
in my opinion, I'll say, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody could have picked a better leader than Doug, because, I mean, he's got his he's got his stuff together. Sorry.
Well, so for now, more editing. No. So for now, what happens is I got to learn from the past, right?
Yeah.
And I got to look toward the future, and I decided to set up MGB this way. I'm saying this because so far it's working. I mean, I know it's a brand new experiment kind of thing, and I don't think it's going to be an experiment much longer. I think it's really taking hold and growing. But what happens is I set it up this way. There's, you know, we set up like a club. There's a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary, and then we have instead of having the general membership, we have teams. And we've got a public relations team, a research and recon team, a event planning team, and I'm forgetting one because we have four. I said public relations.
Yeah, Willie's back in the house.
Oh,
now, by
publications.
The way.
Yeah,
Willie's back here now. He was gone for a few minutes.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, he brought us the rescue battery for the board. So, but we did manage to plug the board into the wall somehow. So,
oh, good.
Somehow it's working on AC.
Yeah.
So at least temporarily.
I mean, as far as we know, in our headphones, it's working just fine.
Yeah. We have been visited by Tesla anyway, for the ghosts of Tesla for a moment, and we will be broadcasting for now. What happens is we set up in a team-oriented fashion, and the herald or the most important part of MGB right now is the message boards. So what we have is we've got the public forums, and those are the public forums. When you join the message board, you see all the public forums. Then we have private forums, and they're not really private because there's people in them, but they're people who have joined a team for whatever their reason is. And they get to, you know, basically they've, you know, interacted with us on the board. They've told us the things, you know, through email, through IMs, through U-to-U messages, they call them, on our board, and also by participating in the boards. And then eventually they're like, you know, I think I could help out with this and that team.
Yeah.
So we join them up to those.
It's a great system because it helps people who are good at one thing. Nobody's good at everything except for me.
Right.
Nobody's good at everything. And it's good to take someone and go, well, look, you're good at this. Well, hey, we got a job for you.
Yeah, we'll do this. And then I gave the teams different assignments. And so far it's working absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the end of the year, I am no longer president. So that means that it would be like
November 1st.
It'll be November 1st next year, 2003.
Unless you get reelected.
Unless I get reelected, I will no longer be president, which is really cool. I like the way we set this up because somebody else may have other ideas that may, you know, or take what I've done and make it in, you know, run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm gonna burn out. I'm gonna run out of energy. I'm gonna run out of ideas. You know, I mean, it's just gonna happen that way. You know, or people will have all these great ideas but not have the power to enact them. Whereas I, you know, when I step aside or you know, get kicked out or whatever, other people will be able to come in and you know, run with it. So I'm trying to create an environment that will last. And that's the one thing, because one of the best groups around here for a long, long, long time was the one run by Lucy Kias. She had an immensely successful group. And I have nothing but respect for Lucy. And what happens is she ran it like a dictatorship, which it worked for her and it worked for her group, which was amazing. And she was on, you know, the local NBC affiliate. They were doing investigations into Eloise and things like that. She did some phenomenal things. I mean, it was equally as phenomenal as what Nicole is doing with West Michigan Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
All kinds of wonderful press, all kinds of wonderful projects. Just an absolutely amazing thing. She burned out. I mean, I don't know the full story because I haven't talked to her about it, but I do know that she closed her group.
Mm-hmm.
And her Yahoo message board thing had like 800 and some odd members. It was huge. And so, I mean, she created basically a dynasty in the Southeast Michigan area, and then it you know, when...
It's self-combusted.
It crumbled, yeah.
Well,
and I don't know the reasons behind it. I imagine, you know, that there were several, and I'm sure that Lucy didn't, you know, wake up one day and say, you know, that's it. I'm sure it was like a combination of things. But she built what was a phenomenal thing, and then it could not last. Just because it weighed so heavily upon one person.
Well, that's the thing that I know you've been focusing on yourself is that, well, for example, I mean, we just had this party on Friday night.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I know a lot of people out there, when they think of people that, well, you do what? Well, I go out ghost hunting. Well, they think automatically, I mean, I know this, they automatically think that, you know, you really don't have too much outside contact with the world, and you don't really get out too much and do things. It was really good to see people that, like, well, Friday night, for example, like, okay, we're dealing with real people here.
Oh, yeah.
These are real people. They have jobs they go to every day. They have families. They have friends. And they like to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to party a little bit.
And look what happened. I mean, this is the holiday season here. Well, it's probably a holiday season all over the world. But here in the United States, it's Christmas is the big one.
Yeah.
And everybody is, you know, out doing like 8 billion things. I think this party was a success for a couple reasons. The biggest reason is the people. The people were and are phenomenal. Right,
mm-hmm.
And then the and that of course was the main ingredient of the party, that food and drink, you know, people, food and drink, that's what, you know,
what's for my party.
And but then also the timing, even though it's the holiday season, everybody's run ragged, you know. I mean, we just got through Halloween. And Halloween, you know, for ghost hunters, if some of you, I know there's people who listen to the show who aren't really ghost hunters because we're on
everywhere.
The whole world.
Global.
So what happens is we've got, that's our big season is Halloween.
Oh,
we
just
got through that, and we all probably felt, if anybody felt like I did,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was our 9-volt battery that runs our board. I was dead.
Uh-huh.
And so what happens is that, you know, everybody needed this party this past weekend to like recharge and get together and focus and have fun and laugh, and oh, did we laugh. The host, Bonnie, she sat down on the couch next to me one time, and she was holding her sides and holding her stomach. She goes, "My stomach hurts," and it's because she was laughing so
hard. I think we were all laughing hysterically.
Everybody had a blast.
Yeah, it was a very good time. Now, what's the point of this, though? Are we just talking about a party we went to on Friday night?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
No,
there is a point to it, because people are going, well, this is ghostly talk, guys.
And
why aren't you talking about ghosts?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're talking about a healthy group of people that are trying to attain a goal.
Yeah.
And this is all part of that.
It is.
You can't... This is our opinion. I know we
are
this.
Well, there are independent researchers.
Yeah.
There are people who go out by themselves, and they probably listen to ghostly talk as well. But... there's people who go out on their own, but there is a thing to be said about, occasionally at least, meeting up with like-minded folks and interacting. Because you get to learn, you get to grow. And sometimes you get to laugh so hard you have to hold your stomach, because that was one fun party.
I'm sore still.
Yeah.
Not just my head.
You're still feeling the ramifications.
Why don't you stop me, man?
Because you were a you're a rock star. You got it in the past.
Why don't you stop me though? I'm like 11 beers in.
I'm gonna
and I'm like I'm taking hits from everybody in the room, and there's Doug sitting there, and I'm just like face first, hair in front of my eye. I'm like, oh god, stop it, guys. No, but seriously, that's the point though. I mean, that this whole bit, anyways, it's just like. If you want, I mean, there's everybody. We get email every week. People, I'm starting my own group. Okay, cool. Have fun. I'm gonna do my own radio show. Okay, cool. Have fun. How long is it going to last, though? Because we've been through it. Take it from people who have been through the ringer, man.
You don't know how many times there were a couple times when I stood in my kitchen with you, and I'm like...
We have sat and talked about this and said...
Yeah, is this it? Are we done?
I'm burnt. I'm fried here, Doug. What are we going to do, man? What are we going to do? What is the point of this? What are we up here every single Sunday, you know, doing this, taking time out of our lives where we could be relaxing on a Sunday night watching The Simpsons, by coming down here and doing a show? And we both, fortunately, we both decided. You can't let this stop us.
This is The Rock. Yeah. This is one of the things that anchors our lives right now.
Yeah, this is one of the things that keeps us sane, I think.
I think so.
But, you know, just take it from us, because the party, all these things we do that may not be directly related to going out and hunting ghosts or researching spirit energies or whatever you want to call it, it's not directly tied into that, but it helps create a good relationship with the people you're working with, and lets you know that you're dealing with a human being. You're not dealing with someone that just believes in ghosts. You're dealing with a person. Hopefully, can become a friend.
Yeah, who could be a friend or at least an ally.
Someone you can at least talk to.
Yeah, to talk to work with, to bounce ideas off of, and to help with research.
So what we're saying is, do this kind of stuff.
Sometimes
it don't have to be the holidays.
Yeah, go out and have fun and visit with people.
It don't have to be the holidays.
Well, you know, the Dawn of Ghost Zoo, what they do when they go out doing their... They do, not investigations, they call them expeditions.
Yes.
They go on their expeditions. When they're done, and this is the last night was the first time we've done this exact kind of thing. When they're done with their their expedition, they go to like a Denny's or, you know, some all-night eatery kind of diner thing, and they actually show each other the pictures that they got on their cameras or their film, and they talk about it, they laugh, and they have a meal. Which is a really good idea. Because, especially this time of year, it was so cold.
Yeah.
But we did that last night. And so we learned from Dawn by talking to her, even though she wasn't with us last night. She's like, this is what we do. So we tried it last night. It worked out really
it's
well.
It's all part of the group dynamic. It's what it's all about. I'd rather find out 2 weeks into a relationship with a person that I cannot stand them
than investing a whole year
of my time into something where I am tied to this person positive.
Right.
And then finding out that they're ridiculous.
But at least you get to interact with people on several levels and still, you know, learn where you stand. Learn what you can learn from them and
And of course, when you get together and party, you get together and do this kind of thing, you talk about all kinds of wild stuff.
Oh, the party!
Especially when you drink a ton of light ice.
And it does.
Especially when you get completely hammered and you start. Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Gee, everything really makes sense now. No matter what it is.
Oh no!
But what happens is this actually ties directly in to our weekend with Kelly and Wayne, her husband.
Yeah, because a lot happened this weekend.
Yeah, because first there was that party. Phenomenal party. Good thing to do.
Yeah, that was
everybody,
Friday night.
Yeah, if you have if you have a chance, go to a party.
Yeah.
It's fun. Then, we happened to meet. That was the first time we met, because we've talked on the boards, because everything happens electronically around here, you know. We've talked on the boards with Kelly, who is...
I think that's the only time I actually see you during the week is for like an hour on Sunday.
Right. Well, yeah, because everything's over the phone or via the email and stuff like that. And then other than ghost hunting, well, during the cold weather,
yeah.
I mean,
I'm not coming out of my house.
No, ghost hunting is probably it's one of the, even though it's my hobby, it's also low on the priority.
Well, listen a few shows back from
two the show about Eunice White.
Well, that's how you do not ghost hunt. That's like the blueprint of how not to ghost hunt. Right there.
Do not go out in a blizzard. But what happens is we talk electronically. We finally got to meet Kelly. She's a resident of Southeast Michigan. She is a psychic, a practicing psychic. A psychic medium. She does readings and things for people over the telephone and at psychic fairs and that kind of thing. Well, she was going to be we met her on Friday at the party, right? Then the next day, there was a psychic fair in Mount Clemens, Michigan.
Which we got lost going to.
Yeah, we're from like a mile away from Mount Clemens, and we could not find the party or the fair.
Okay.
It's the American Legion Hall, and I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking it was on Gratiot. It's not.
I tried coming.
It's on Grossbeck. It's the building with a huge plane in front of it.
Yeah, I know.
On Grossbeck, right near the prison.
I really wanted to go to that. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. You guys got to go, though.
Well, it's because you're a rock star and you had a photo shoot. So anyway,
listen to me turn the mic up.
No. Help with ghostly talk. So what happens is we did make it there. I had a blast. This was more like I remember the psychic fairs being, because you remember several, like many shows ago, when we tooled about looking for a psychic fair, we finally found it, and it was like, you know, whatever that thing was.
Oh, it was me, you, and your mom.
Yeah, and whatever that thing was at the Holiday Inn or Comfort Inn or whatever.
Well, that was real nice.
That was...
There's like four people standing there.
Yeah, that was not what I remember.
Oh, yeah, it's $5 to walk through the door.
Yeah, and then like 35...
Is there a deli tray laid out for something like this? I mean, because I'm paying $5 to go through the door somewhere. I want something in return for that.
Well, yeah.
No, we ended up just walking away from that.
Yeah, we didn't even go in.
No, thank you. No.
So the next time we went, this time we went, it was more like I remember. It does have a cover charge. You have to pay your $5, but we had coupons.
That actually goes towards like some sort of non-profit organization.
How much did you pay to get through the door?
It was $5, but we had a $1 coupon. So it was $4 to just go in. It was worth it.
Okay.
Look at you saw the people at the one that you and me and my mother.
That was a different situation.
Yeah, you look at that, those people, you're like, but these people were more like I remember. These people were phenomenal because we walked in, the lady hobbled over, poor lady, she had broken her foot previously, and so she, I'm coming, I'll be there, I'll be right over there, and she hobbles over, and we got to meet her, we talked with her. We talked with all kinds of people. We didn't get to talk with the one fellow who was doing the healings because he was busy. He was like really working out with this lady, you know. But I mean, he was doing everything. He was chanting and you know, slamming her with energy and all that stuff. Right. Whatever you do, yeah. It's a really good show, actually. I mean, that's something you should probably make a documentary of. But and you know, and talk to the lady afterwards and find out how she felt. But anyway, what happens is we didn't get to talk to him, but we talked to all kinds of other people, and we got to talk, of course, with Kelly quite a bit. And I got a reading. I actually got a reading from Kelly.
And what happened to you, Doug?
Well, it turns out I have a bright future. Evidently, I'm going to write books. I'm going to do more documentaries like Afterlife. I'm going to do all these great things. So
really,
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. Well, right now I'm pretty content doing Ghostly Talk, but evidently the divine plan for me is not yet fulfilled, so I'm going to be around a while. So even if you were in my will, you ain't getting anything yet. You don't get this board until I die. I know, $30.
Well, thanks,
board,
man.
Mixing board,
hey,
and
yeah.
You got to buy it batteries every other week. So. It's like having a pet.
Well, I really wanted to go this Saturday because I wanted to get a reading myself. I had my reading previously with Shelley. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get another one.
Well,
Shelley was supposed to be here tonight anyways, and I was going to force her into give me another reading, too.
And didn't work out.
Yeah, unfortunately, she couldn't, sorry, we're, personal thing here.
You're reading the...
Okay, yeah, I know Shelley's probably listening anyways right now, but yeah, I wanted to force her into give me another reading. She couldn't make it, though, unfortunately. But you got yours, though. I'm going to go out soon. I'm going to force Shelley to come down to my house.
There's another one on the 27th.
Okay.
In Livonia.
Mm.
We were talking about that, and I said, oh, that's far. And then everybody reminded me about how far we go when we ghost hunt. And, you know.
Flint. Wyandotte.
Ipsy. Yeah. We go everywhere. So.
Can I have fun with this?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Guys, you don't know what we're talking about here. Sorry. Can I have fun with this, though?
Yeah.
I can't believe this is going to talk about drama.
I'm dropping off. I'm taking care of this.
Right.
I'm dropping off for 2 minutes, guys. I know you're going to miss me, but just give me a second, okay?
All right, good.
I'll handle this. It'll be all good. You guys are going to laugh out of this.
Cool. So anyway, Will and I go off to the psychic fair. And it was more like I remember. They had the table set up around the perimeter, and you could buy things. And I bought a candle. It was only $1. I wanted the set of, you know, the starter set of Reiki charged candles. I, you know, didn't bring enough money for that, so I ended up getting just one candle that I thought would help me out, and it smells really good. It's nap champ. I don't know, and patchouli. And anyway, it smells really good. So I bought the candle. I bought those beads, and I got a reading. So it was really, really cool. And I found out, you know, that my work is not done. It's just begun. So I got a lot of work to do. That's what I found out. Among other things. I mean, she told me, like, so much. That's the problem with the reading is you get so much. It's a half hour. It's packed. And you didn't get a reading, Will.
No, we kind of ran out of time. Then yeah. I started talking to Kelly about other things and ghost hunting. But I did talk to a couple of the other people, and I'm going to be buying some things.
Oh, that's right. And I took the flyer for more candles because I want those. I want that set of 12 Reiki charged candles. So even if I don't get them by the 27th, I may just have to pick them up at the Livonia Psychic Fair. But I had so okay. You're talking now. Look at me. I am no. Don't look at me.
look at Doug.
I am mostly.
Isn't he beautiful? Will?
I consider myself.
Doug shaved his beard off, by the way, and I'm like totally burnt out about that. Me and you looked alike, man. You were there, and you shaved your beard off,
I
man.
I still have his little.
Well, yeah, you got the Van Dyke going, man. But it's
yeah.
like, come on, man. You got to grow the beard back. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All that takes is a 5 o'clock shadow, and boom, I'm full beard. But anyway, what happens is the. What was I saying? Wait. I was saying something very, very important, too, and now you've...
Were you saying something about your reading, or...?
Nah, I already talked about that. So, it was probably something really deep and important. Probably earth-shattering. What happens is, we,
So, there was turn the course of Ghostly Talk, like, completely around.
Oh, no, yes, that's what it was. Look at me. Look at me. I'm Doug, right? And I am... consider myself a very scientific, very... you know, I want the proof, I want the photos, I want the EVP, I want to get all this good stuff, scientifically, because I want something to show people, you know, hey, look at this, this is what I did, you know, here's proof, here's something, let's figure it out. Very analytical, very scientific, and here I am talking about going to a psychic fair. Which is not really analytical or scientific. It's more, you know, soulful and spiritual and faith. You know, a lot of faith goes into that. Yet, I had a very positive experience. I mean, it was very positive to me. I had a good time.
You were glowing afterwards.
I was. I had a halo. Because I'm so good.
then...
No, not quite a halo.
What was that?
All right, they were horns. But still. No, I had a great time. $1 million. Okay, that's a really bad impression.
That was terrible.
I know.
Sorry, you talk now.
Okay, all right, yeah. Will, hop in there. Step in there, please.
Oh, man.
Will's manning the IMs.
Drama's
okay.
happening.
All right, so, all right.
I had
so,
a very positive okay. experience.
Yeah.
And I want to go again, and I may end up going on the 27th. So, what happens is, the psychic that we talked to had been in
yeah.
correspondence with us over, you know, the instant messenger, and then she went to the party the night before,
yeah.
and then I got a reading from her, and we had a great talk, and we had a great experience, and we went out to dinner, and her and her husband, and her husband's a complete skeptic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so, but we go... We had planned, okay, we're going to go out ghost hunting with them.
Yeah.
So, we did the party till 5 a.m. on Friday.
Uh-huh.
We did, on Saturday during the day, we went to the psychic fair. And then, on Saturday at night,
yeah.
we went ghost hunting. So, we go to two places. The first place we went, this is what we got, okay? First of all right, I don't know how to set this up. Because we didn't organize the show beforehand, obviously. But
these are the most magical moments of this show, though.
Yes, I want to play something. I want to play the old tape, or it's not a tape. It's now a clip in the computer. I'm going to play a clip in the computer of what I had captured on my former camcorder.
Well, this happened a while. This happened. Jeez,
this was back in like April or May or June or something. And this is the tape of the clip of the girl crying at Ypsilanti State Mental Hospital.
It's institution, okay. hospital.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is the clip. It's a long clip. It's I don't even know where it is now. Oh, it's 46 seconds, and there's only like a brief moment that you hear the girl crying. But I want to play this because absolutely everybody has been asking, you know, where's this clip?
Yeah.
I'm playing the clip now for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play it a couple times.
Yeah, okay. We've been getting a lot of requests for this.
Yeah, so first I'm going to play it. We're uh-huh. not going to bring down the levels, though, while we play it.
So you're going to hear us in the background.
You may hear yeah, laughing and grumbling and stuff. Uh-huh. However, and that's only because the board is acting up. But I'm going to play this clip. I want everybody to listen, and then I'll play it again, and I'll point out where the girl is. I'll try to point out just, you know, where she's crying. And I want you to hear this. So here's the clip of the girl crying at Ipsy State Institution. Here it is.
Did you?
Hey, they can hear you.
Sorry.
I don't remember. Well, when we came out headed this way, we were near the shopping cart operation room. The back wall there. We're a small child of 8. Did the shotgun lay out?
No. Bingo.
Okay, it's actually about 8 seconds before the
bingo. Yeah, why don't you play that clip, like, isn't it like about...
It's at 9.
Why don't you play it just in that spot? Crank it up off the Winamp, so we can you bring it up
well,
to level a little bit more?
Well, the compressor is just going to compress it down anyway, so it'll
yeah, you're right.
crackled. So I'll right. play it again.
Play
I'll
again.
Point it out when...
Play again, we're just going to pull the levels. Let's just pull the levels down.
Well,
all
right, but I don't want to lose the power to the...
Oh, boy. All right, go ahead. Just do it again.
I'll just play it. I'll point it
all
out.
Right, okay.
Over. Okay.
All right.
Did you?
Or just check it.
What's going on there?
I don't remember.
Well, when we came out headed this way, we worked near the shopping cart operation room. The back wall there. We're a small child of 8. Is the shotgun going out?
No.
Okay, it's coming up in like 2 seconds. 1 second, here it comes. That was
yeah.
it. Okay.
That's one of the most conclusive pieces of EVP I've ever heard.
And that was Tom.
Bingo.
That was Tom, by the way. Tom, the creator of Afterlife.
Oh, yeah, the man who did Afterlife.
Yeah, which by the way...
If you haven't seen that...
Even if you order it now, though, evidently he's experiencing technical difficulties as well, trying to make copies of it. So even if you order it, you know, it's pretty
hard to get
shaky at the moment right now.
But any of you really cool people that know us personally?
Yeah, you can borrow our copy.
You can borrow our copy or come hang out and watch it.
Yeah.
So...
But, no, he'll get his equipment fixed, and then he'll be pumping out copies for people again.
There's a ton of new listeners out there now that have not heard about this movie yet.
Haven't heard of Afterlife? Who has not heard of Afterlife?
I'm sure there's a couple people out there that we have not let know about this wonderful film yet. Check it out, papertarget.net.
Oh, excellent.
papertarget.net. Check out his website. He's doing a lot of great work. Tom is a complete lunatic. But he's an artist to the core,
Core. So we did, so anyway, that was the child crying at Ipsy State Hospital. Well, here's what we learned.
Yeah.
Because we went with a psychic, with Kelly, to Ipsy State.
Yeah.
And as we were going into the building, she felt there was a woman beckoning her to come in. And she was going to show, and she can tell the story a lot better than I can. I wish she was here. But the... you know, so basically we're supposed to go in. So we go in. We showed her the morgue, which is where that clip was from. We showed her all this stuff. She is under the impression, and I don't know how it comes. I don't know how she knows this. I don't know, whatever. She did listen to one ghostly talk, as far as I know, last week. But I don't think she had heard this clip before. She was under the impression that there was a patient at the place who could not speak, or would not, could not or would not speak.
He also part mentally
retarded. Tell this whole thing, because he was telling us about this in the driveway when I got here today.
I know, and I've forgotten 99%
of
the details.
I can tell
it. Oh, okay. Well, you're busy typing.
No, you can tell it.
Right.
I can help you if you want.
All right, cool. Pitch in when I forget
all
something.
Right.
So what happens is, there's this girl who was, who happened upon, she was, everybody in there was, except for the workers, was, you know, mentally either, yeah, not working very well. So what? Otherwise, you know, why would you go to mental hospital? So, although, you know, a lot of them still had their faculties, they were just misunderstood because, you know, back in the day, you know, you didn't know that, you know, there weren't pathways. Well, anyway, that's all psychology. Forget it. Now, she's in there. She happened upon two of the male orderlies or something like that doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And that's vague. There's no, like, we don't know if it was illegal or bad or, you know, immoral, but it was something that they should not have been doing. That we know. Or that she feels she knows. So then, the two orderlies, male orderlies, decided that they were going to eat. They know that she wouldn't talk because she's never talked before. She was not, you know, the patient was not a did not talk. But they did not want, they wanted to, you know, frighten her, basically, into even if she did suddenly start talking, not saying anything about them. So what happens is they would actually put her in the morgue and slide her in the tray. You know, put her in the tray and then slide her in and lock her in there.
Yeah.
And they would bind her hands, but not so much that she couldn't struggle.
Enough where there's some slack in there where she could move a little bit.
She could move a little bit and struggle. So she would struggle, and she would be in there basically whimpering, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't talk or scream because of her mental incapabilities. So that's what Kelly had gleaned out of the story. And Kelly's never, as far as I know, heard this clip.
And the thing is, we'd always described it as being, you know, a child crying.
Crying.
And she's got as a whimpering, and when she was making the noises, that's exactly what, like, Tom and I had heard the night him and I were sitting in the morgue.
Yeah.
Which, you know, definitely, you know, adds to her credibility.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked.
Yeah, unfortunately shocked. Getting this kind of evidence that had to come from a very bad situation. We know that in mental institutions, mental wards, whatever you want to call them, a lot of questionable actions come from the staff. You hear about it every day in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You read it on the, you know, from
and,
the paper.
And, you know,
TV,
I'm sure
whatever.
That certain things went on there, too.
I know things went on there. I mean,
well, they happen everywhere, but and that's because of sick people, you know, and not the patients, either. I mean, there's a certain amount of I'll get it.
Sorry.
There's a certain amount of things that the, you know, the patients do, but they're you know, don't understand or they don't know. Like it's and it's very rarely malicious, but the staff, you know, they're not allowed to do certain, you know, malicious things, and yet they do anyway. And
well, it's a bad thing because you know, a person that's in that state of whatever state of mind they're in, it's obviously not one that we consider in our society to be normal. Whether or not they have good intentions, that's not the question, but to take advantage of a person like that.
Right, or to try and terrorize. And they would do, they, according to Kelly, they would put her in there repeatedly. Like,
well, they were doing that just to see if she would talk.
Right.
That's what they, that was one of the reasons they did that.
Well, they wanted
that.
To see if she would scream, and they also wanted to scare her into submission so that she would never talk about them.
Yeah.
And then, and one time they also put her in there when there were bodies in the morgue as well, which is not good. I mean,
I can speak from experience on that, actually. Well, I told you that I grew up in my family, I have a lot of family that's involved with funeral homes. And my grandpa would think it was kind of funny to throw me in the embalming room and they had a body laid out on the table.
Oh,
6-year-old kid. Hey, Scott, go check this out. And throw me in there and lock the door. And, you know, I'm still grandpa. I hope you're listening right now. You don't, when you're a little kid like that, you don't need to be exposed to things like that. Now, mind you, it was a joke for me. I mean, I'm fine, as far as I know. But to put a child in there, especially a morgue tray.
Yeah.
I mean, a body tray in a morgue. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, if there's anything, speaking from a scientific point of view, though, if there's anything that's going to leave a psychic impression, I think that would be high up on my list of things, because that would scare the hell out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, you're a child.
Oh, yeah.
You're a baby. You have no idea, and you have all these other problems
and,
on top
and
of that.
Yeah, and if you were, you know, mentally behind or mentally, you know, not, you know, in this world, you know, like on par with everyone else, you would... I mean, that would be traumatic.
Yeah.
And so traumatic experiences go hand in hand
We've talked about that a million times on this show.
Yeah.
and it makes everything's kind of coming together with that particular area of that of the Ipsy State mental institution. We have that EVP we played for you a few minutes ago, and we're speaking to Kelly, who's telling us, "Hey, I'm getting a feeling over here too." And to tell us a story, and that, I mean, there was more details she did give us. I mean, she said that the two orderlies were, I mean, I don't know if this is really gonna have any bearing, but one was white and one was black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, details like that. I mean,
yeah, there were details like that. It may or may not have anything to do with, you know, the actual story. I mean, those kinds of things do need to be, like, reported and written down and saved for you know, further study. But at the same time, you know, for just an hour-long radio show, we're just giving an overview real quick. Speaking of overviews, that was exciting. We ended up getting chased out of Ipsy.
Yes.
Literally
chased.
No, we weren't chased, but there were actually patrols.
Yeah, there was a security van that went by. There were a couple security vans that went by.
Uh-huh.
And Tom, Jason, and I saw it, and we decided to abort the mission.
So we hightailed it out. Instead of going into what would have probably been one of the most active places that night,
we got some great pictures.
We aborted.
In the auditorium.
Yeah, in the auditorium, we got some good stuff.
We were shooting pictures from upstairs in the projection booth, reaching our hands with the cameras through through the hole, and taking pictures. And Wayne, Kelly's husband, got some great pics.
Oh yeah.
And so did I.
Did you bring them?
They're downloading. Right, they were downloading at my house when
excellent.
So they'll be up. They'll be up on the webpage probably.
I think he asked if you brought them or not.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it'll be up on the webpage.
No, I just want to grill you a little bit.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be funny to get in there and... that's something for people to think about, though, if they're going to take anything away from this show. We've talked about that so many times in the show. What's a psychic impression? I mean, that's a very interesting thing for me personally. Because, I mean, well, we have ghosts. Well, how'd they get there? You know, that's the question. We've talked about residual hauntings where we have projections, like projectors over and over again, the same thing over and over again. Well, how did that get there?
Right.
And now we have a girl, supposedly, who we're hearing her whine on tape. We're getting stories from psychics who are telling us, hey, this is what happened, this is what went down, that's why she's here. Is that the reason? Is that what puts them together as far as our world and this little girl's world now? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're looking at me blankly.
No.
Not making any sense whatsoever.
No, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to remember Kelly's website address.
www.enchantedsoul.com.
And that's why Willie has been hired on. The ghost
account. You get the same pay we do, by the way.
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yes. And we're gonna give you a bonus. Half of that again.
Yeah. Because you know, Christmas is coming.
Bonus.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, that's something to think about, though. How does this happen? I mean, we talk about ghosts, we're trying to find ghosts, we're trying to prove the afterlife, we're trying to prove this, trying to prove that. How did they get there in the first place?
Right.
We've never talked about that. We never even asked ourselves that.
But, you know, that actually sounds like something we should research and do a show on.
Definitely. We've talked about theories like, well, you know, in England, porous rocks.
That hold energy.
Stairways! That's one of the most interesting ones to me.
Yeah.
Stairways. In case you guys haven't listened, well, this is actually way back, so I don't even think this is in the archives anymore.
I'm going to pull out a couple of those old ones.
Yeah.
I want to put the one with dawnofghostsu.com up there. I want to put, I think that was that scientific?
With Dawn?
No, the scientific one. Is that where we did
that? That may have been. I'm not sure now.
I don't know. I'll listen to them. I'll try and put up some of the old archives.
But, if you're ghost hunting, this is a good thing to do. This is a good exercise or method you might want to try is... Well, we've been to places where we heard there was a homicide here. Let's go. There's got to be something going on there. You know, that's the first thing that comes to our minds.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why would we think that there would definitely be ghosts here because somebody got greased in this room, in this house, in this city, as opposed to, well, why do we go to cemeteries all the time? Why do we go to cemeteries?
The theory behind that is that, you know, the souls, the spirits, the ghosts would have an attachment to their old physical body.
Yeah.
And be comfortable. Because anywhere that they're comfortable, or anywhere that the trauma, or it's either, you know, it's one way or the other. It's either you're really comfortable with something, so you hang around it, just like your favorite easy chair. Or, you know, that's where all the energy was, you know, happened when you lost your life or, you know, whatever it may be,
yeah.
That ties you to a place.
Yeah.
So you're either in a comfortable place or a really traumatic place or a really, mm-hmm. you know, filled, energy-filled place.
Well, we've discussed this, though, too. When you're, well, for example, we talked about Battlefield Ghosts
yeah.
a while back. And we talked about the one story of Old Green Eyes,
yeah.
who had his head blown off with a cannon,
yeah.
which sucks, by
yeah.
the way, just in case you guys didn't know that. I thought, possibly, if you're standing there with a gun in your hand, you're on a battlefield, and you're getting ready to start greasing out anybody around you, and all of a sudden, some dude lights a cannon up and fires it at you, and you don't know what's coming, you just turn around, and all of a sudden, there's a cannonball flying at your face. Whammo! Your head gets taken off. You're by, well, you die, okay.
Yeah.
But what happens with the rest of you? The inertia. I mean, I'm talking about a complete physical thing right here. The inertia. I mean, think about the power a cannonball has, especially back then. How fast it goes, but just the weight itself. Hitting your body. Killing you. What is your soul? I mean, let's just say we have our bodies, we've discussed this, our body is a container for our soul.
Yeah.
Now, if you take and shoot a cannonball at a water glass, what's going to happen? If the cannonball hits a water glass, what's going to happen? Well, of course, the glass is going to break, right? Let's imagine the glass is our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen with the water inside?
It goes everywhere.
It goes all over the place.
Yeah.
It displaces. It goes flying out because there's nothing containing it anymore. Okay. Let's just equate that with your soul. That's what I think on a complete physical level.
Physical level, yeah. The soul, though, I don't think has a physicality kind of thing to it. It's an energy kind of thing.
It's an energy thing, but we're talking about our bodies, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying theoretically, of course.
Well, also, you know, to go along with that, since we're going to go ghostly talk and talk about something completely different, it's not completely different. This is...
I'm listening to this story, and I'm listening
yeah.
about this little girl who is locked in
yeah.
a body tray with other bodies.
Yeah.
And I'm going, why is she still there?
Oh.
Why
okay.
is she still there?
Well,
why is Old Green Eye still walking around there going, ugh?
Yeah.
Why is he still there? That's the question
that
I have.
That's the question. But one thing that I can add to what we're talking about
mm-hmm.
is that one of the things that they talk about with out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences is, like, if you're involved in a car crash kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, in a car crash, the physics of it is your car and everything, you know, stops very suddenly. And, of course...
Your body keeps going.
Yeah, your body, even strapped in, you know, a human body can't... It's
yeah.
not built to stop that suddenly.
Yeah.
And even if it's strapped in or if it's not strapped in... Then
well, I think our bodies are built to stop that suddenly.
Well, my body would absorb a heck of a lot of impact, yeah. But what happens is the soul, you know, not having the limitations of the body, or the spirit,
mm-hmm.
not having the limitations of the body, even though it's normally, you know, hanging around the body, keeps going and is basically thrown out of.
That's a better analogy of what I was talking
body.
About, basically.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then that's like the beginning of an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
or it could be. It's one of the possible beginnings of an NDE or OBE. So what happens is the soul gets displaced from the body because the body stops so suddenly.
Uh-huh.
That's
what I'm saying, is it just knocks it out of the body.
Yeah, knocks it right out.
That sounds weird, it sounds foreign, but really it's the only way I could think of why is he still there.
Right, well for him, yeah, his soul or spirit energies or whatever could have gotten, pushed right out of the body really quickly.
Yeah.
And so he's still hanging around, probably not knowing that he's, you know...
Dead. And I mean, obviously a cannonball flying at your head, that's a pretty traumatic experience too.
That's pretty traumatic.
And that's about as traumatic as it gets, if you ask me. Think about that, people. I mean, I know this discussion kind of went way off in left field. We were trying just to keep this more of like, we did this and we did that, but I'm sorry. I mean, I had this...
Yeah, we went ghostly talk.
Well, we God, God forbid we talk about ghosts on this show,
yeah,
you know?
I call that going ghostly talk, because suddenly we get really deep. But yeah, that's the kind of thing. But why they hang around, I think it all has to do, again, I think it all comes back around to energies. And there's energy there. She's attached to that place. You know, the girl is attached to that
mm-hmm.
asylum. It turns out later in the evening,
mm-hmm.
Kelly saw this girl, only not as a girl anymore, but as a grown and older woman. And because she kept picturing a crone, you know, a crone is like an old woman all hunched over, you know, that kind of thing, and very old and wrinkled. That's a, you know, the classic picture of a crone. Well, what happens is so Kelly's of the impression that this girl ended up living her life there at the asylum and dying there. You know, but old.
Oh.
You know, so okay. She didn't. So she probably suffered other kinds of abuses as well. But you know, the probably fairly minor compared to being locked in the, the morgue.
Well, that would suck.
Yeah,
I think we've established that already. That would suck. That would not be very cool.
But she was going to tell more, but we got chased away by the security. So we ended up not hearing the full story.
And I was in my cozy bed.
You luck out. It was cold. I was really cold. We then went. We've got 6 minutes left, so we can talk about Savage House real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We went back there to get some psychic impressions of Savage House, which is something that, you know, because a lot of people have been to Savage House, unfortunately. I can't wait till they tear it down so that nobody else will go there again, because it's sad what has happened to Savage House.
It's been vandalized.
Yeah.
So much.
And,
well, when are they going to level it now? We've talked about this.
I heard it was this winter, but I would imagine they'll probably wait till spring. I don't understand why anybody would start a construction project in the winter.
Well, we actually found the current owner.
Yeah.
He's the old owner, too, so he got to live there and left in the middle of the night for some reason.
Yeah, I know that they had mailed a letter to him, so we'll find out. But what happens is we wanted some psychic impressions, so we took Kelly there, and she gave us some impressions that were pretty amazing. And she felt that there was somebody upstairs, and the upstairs is an attic, you know, kind of thing. It's not a like an upstairs bedroom or anything. It's
like
an
a
attic.
Loft type bed.
Yeah, and but it was never like done. It was never finished into a living quarter. But that's where one spirit evidently hangs out, and evidently he. It's a male, because she kept referring it as a he. he was, you know, actually anxious, I guess, to have Kelly there, because, you know, she can sense and talk and, you know, do more than we can. Because all we can do is, like, take photos and you know, get EVPs and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not very communicative, whereas if... that's a real word, communicative.
Communicative.
Yeah.
All right.
And so that's, you know, that's more like, you know, taking your picture. So what happens is to actually communicate with Kelly would have been, you know, pretty cool for him, but he was evidently a pretty mean spirit. So we'll find out.
I've noticed many mean spirits in that house.
That house, yeah. Well, that's
there's always been, I said this the first time I went there, there's always been a vibe I've gotten from that house of just tension. Tension.
I believe it. I mean, it is a very not peaceful place.
No, it's the opposite. It's unrest. I mean, I am in by no means ever claiming myself to be a psychic of any kind, but I mean, I really they're like, you know, just check it out. And I mean, I really honed in and just opened my head up, and I said, okay, what am I getting out of this? And I'm like, I got a stomachache. I mean, really, I got tensed up, and I'm like, this just doesn't feel good. This isn't a feeling I like to have. And I really couldn't put my finger on, you know, whether it's angry or mean spirit or evil or whatever you want to call it, but just tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody is just like, just tensing every muscle in your body forever.
Well, I don't actually like being there, but I always end up going back. I've been there more than 20 times. But it's part of what I do. It's part of, you know, part of ghost hunting, and the place, there's just so much energy there that you have to go back. As much as you don't like it, you have to go.
Even well, it helps parking your, lot, I think I'll be there
right,
with a camera.
There'll be like 50 people out there with cameras in a parking lot. It'll be just wonderful. this is what it's set it up to be, guys.
Yeah, we're investigating a parking lot now.
Oh, my God.
Of a condo complex. But, yeah, it's going to be... That is quite a place.
Mm.
And they got some interesting photos there, too. So... you know, we got some good proof and stuff. Yeah. It hasn't come in yet. Like, some's been printed and emailed, but some hasn't yet.
Yeah.
It's all still coming in from last night.
But
my photos came out like crap. I'm just going to delete them when my batteries are charged. I'm
what happened?
Charge. Well, I stuck the camera through the little slot in the projection room, and I took photos, but they just came out all blue and icky and swirly. They were not photos of any kind. Evidently, my flash is not powerful enough, and I either hadn't turned it off or hadn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't turn my flash off unless I need to, and so the flash just couldn't light up the room. It's so big of a room, the auditorium.
Oh, yeah. It's...
And I didn't take any photos. I didn't do anything at Savage other than stand outside because I was freezing.
If you had got in the house, you might have been a little bit warmer because there was no wind.
Well, I was in the house briefly, but I got out. There were too many people. It was another one where we had a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
that's great for Ipsy because, you know,
it's so big.
Too.
Yeah.
But, because you never know what's in there. Tom and I ran into a raccoon. You know?
and there's been other people in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
never
bums
know who's
and
in
parties
there.
And all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, I know there's people in there doing meth. I told you that, man. Because there was cleansers and stuff all over the place. I'm like, I don't see anybody cleaning around here.
Ah.
But
green.
Somebody was throwing together meth in there, man. Like,
oh,
getting screwed up on meth.
For?
You know, that's like, a lot of cleansers. That's one of the main ingredients for it.
Is it?
I don't know that. I mean, hey.
amazing the things you can find on the internet.
Oh, so, hey, you know what I got? Hello, Joey? Hi, Joey.
Is Joey listening?
Joey's listening right now.
Oh, man, that is so awesome.
Hey, Joey.
We have somebody who both of us absolutely adore. Okay, we adore Beth in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Right? And her son, Joey, I guess, is listening to us.
Yeah.
So, hey, Joey.
Hey, Joey, what's up, man?
And happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. But, yeah, you know what? We're at the top of 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that's it. We've got to go.
Yeah. Insane weekend. Insane
one.
Weekend.
I hope that... Now, next weekend, I believe we actually have a plan to talk about a real hardcore topic. I don't want to give it away yet, though. It should be pretty interesting, and I believe that it's holiday-related. So, you may want to tune in next week.
Come in next week, yeah, for sure.
It'll be our holiday edition of Ghostly Talk,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do some holiday stuff. I'm glad we got some ghost stories in tonight.
Yeah.
Well, the one, you know. And I'm glad we got to talk about groups and stuff. So even though this was an unplanned show because we had, you know, the cancellation of the guest, I think that we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we covered a lot. Like I said, I mean, parties, what does that have to do with ghost hunting? Has a lot to do with ghost hunting.
Yeah, it does. And you know, try to interact with your fellow ghost hunters and try and be nice to them sometimes.
Well, it's just...
Some people are not nice.
It just helps the whole thing. It really does.
Yeah.
For the whole group dynamic to get things done in the long run, it really does.
So
yeah, on that note, it's another lesson.
Another lesson.
Take it from the guys who know.
We've been through it.
Take it from the guys who know. Please, live and learn. So on that note, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.